The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Screencast, our only entertainment-based podcast where we're mostly going to be talking about Marvel today.
Oh yeah, we are, baby. Phase 4.
It's here.
It's real.
Oh, very excited. You can watch this show normally on Fridays, but today we have a very special episode on Monday because we can't wait.
An emergency Screencast.
Mm-hmm. Very excited to do that. If you don't have time to watch this live, that's totally fine. You can watch us on YouTube or Rooster Teeth. And if you don't want to look at our ugly mugs while we're doing the show, you can go to your favorite podcast services and listen to us there. Mm-hmm. If you want to help support us on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and support at any tier you want, like all the Patreon producers, including Robin GL, Alec Bobko, David Mintel, Ant-Man0208, and DJ Kento. Thank you so much for keeping the show alive.
Gotta love them.
Real quick,
is this the image people see at home?
Yeah.
There's a mouse cursor.
Barrett, move the mouse cursor up! Good catch.
Some of the comments will.
This show is brought to you by our sponsors, MeUndies and Quip. But more about that later. Now it's time to introduce the people. I'm Kevin Coelho. That right there is Greg, my friend Miller.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Greg Miller, Kevin's friend.
Yeah.
We're going to go to breakfast again this week. We're excited to get back on track. It's been a while since we made it to Lucho's.
It's been a while.
And to his right, my left, Tim Gettys.
That's
now,
me. Let Tim Tam
In
host.
A similar conversation to what you just had with the mouse cursor, is that on purpose? Do you want the kind of funny button upside down on your hat? Is that a choice you're making?
I know, it rotates. Did I get it?
Doesn't his hair look a little good. Like blonde right now? You got a little blonde streaks?
I mean, compared to yours,
I think it's the reflection from your blonde hair.
Exactly. Compared to yours,
blinding us all.
Yeah.
All right, well, now it's time for some news.
News.
All right, some quick non-Marvel news.
Start it with Brandon Routh, you coward.
All right, let's start with Brandon Routh.
It's happening? Crisis on Infinite Earths, Tim. Oh, my God. We go to Comic-Con. What do we? You know there's going to be a bunch of stuff. We know MCU is going to be there. I'll go fast. Don't worry about it. But then we already knew that, guess what? Leading into Comic-Con, they'd break this news, right? Brandon Routh and Tyler Hoechlin, or whatever his name is, the current Superman on Supergirl, who's fantastic. If you haven't seen him on Supergirl, fantastic. These are, of course, CW shows. They announced that in the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover that they got teased last year on the Arrowverse that's happening this year. Guess what? Tyler's going to be Superman, and now Brandon Routh will be Superman again. I flip the fuck out, of course. Brandon Routh, given a raw deal.
This is a
Superman
big deal.
Returns, not a good movie.
Real tough.
However, he was a good Superman. He did a great Christopher Reeve. You know what I mean?
Like he nailed it.
They said, here's what we need you to do, and he did it. You're like, that sucks that he never got to do it. It was when we had Brandon Routh on the GameSpot E3 stage, like in 2015, right? I talked to him about, like, this is awesome that you're getting another shot, that, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now he's getting another shot to be Superman. Amazing enough. Then at the Comic-Con panel, right, they're like talking about the suit, and he's like, I'm not wearing the Superman Returns suit, and opens his shirt to reveal the Kingdom Come fucking Superman symbol. Do we curse on this show?
Yeah,
Kidding me?
What happened to you, Greg? Because, like, that's the type of thing where I'm just like, this is weird Greg Miller dream. Fan fiction stuff.
I know. I might be dead.
Yeah?
I might have died. You know what I mean? Because Marvel Ultimate Alliance is great. All this MCU stuff. This is happening. We're getting that cool Death and Return of Superman comic that's just going to be Lois, the Eradicator. Fuck, it's a good time to be me right now.
Oh, yeah.
But are you kidding me when that happened? Are you fucking kidding me? I couldn't get over it. Still, I'm still not over it.
Cool as hell.
Yeah.
I think it's dope that they're doing that. Like, do you think that it's going to like pan out to be something
cool?
Yeah. I mean, here's my thing is I am on the record as, don't get me wrong, I love the CW shows and all the shit they're doing. I stopped watching. I had to stop watching. Yeah. I don't like
There's so much of it.
I don't like watching
filler episodes.
Content in general, right? Really? Like, I usually go home and play games. So that's always a struggle for me with the other stuff we do. So, yeah, for sure. Like, after season one of Flash was so perfect, it's like they didn't stop and they kept going, and I get it. Make money, do all these things. I come back for the crossovers every year. Like, last year's crossover was fun. It's awesome. You can drop back in, and they do such a great job of, listen, we know you're not up to date on whatever weird little shit's going on, so, like, broad strokes, here's what's going on and why we're going to do it. So, to have Crisis on Infinite Earths come out, which is an amazing one already, how they already did with the multiverse. Obviously, I think the only thing that could have topped this is if they would have confirmed that they're going to Smallville and bringing back Michael Rosenbaum, they're bringing back Tom Welling. I still hold that hope. I don't think it's going to happen based on the conversations I had with them at the Comic-Con panel, or the Planet Comic-Con panel in Kansas City. But I still hold that hope that it's going to be a big surprise. I also saw a headline, I didn't read the article though, that Burt Ward, Robin from the Batman and Robin 60 show is going to be in this.
What?
And I don't know if, all I saw was the headline. I'm not sure if he's being Robin or if he's just going to have some cameo. But if that's the kind of love and care they're giving to this thing of bringing in all these different things, because it was awesome enough last year, because they did the multiverse stuff, right? Of bringing in the Flash from John Wesley Schnipp or his original Flash TV show. He's already on the Flash show now as Barry's dad, but they brought him in his original Flash outfit, right? And he turned to John Diggle and he's like, John, where's your ring? Because everybody's thought, I've been saying since the fucking first season of Arrow, he should be John Stewart, the Green Lantern. So fucking good.
Yeah.
I'm so stoked.
I love him, man. I love they're doing cool stuff like that. I did not expect Brandon to be brought back into this, let alone the Kingdom Come version, whatever that means. I doubt it's going to be.
To see what they do with that.
Yeah. My hope beyond hope is that they don't get into the weeds of it, and it's just like, this is Brandon Routh's Superman Returns Superman. This is the continuation of the Christopher Reeve Superman universe.
Interesting.
And at some point, Kingdom Come came to that universe,
that's
which you
cool.
never would have thought of.
That is a dead, real,
he's
real
just
cool.
Super depressed.
Totally. Totally. Really Jack cool. Nicholson, Joker Kelder.
Whoa.
Come on. Whoa. You know what I mean? Come the fuck up.
I really hope they do something great with this. And then someday, like 10 years from now, I sit down and watch all of the DC shows.
I think Legends of Tomorrow, season 3, episode 12 will break you.
I watched like half of... No, I think I watched the whole first season. Yeah, it was a hard show to get through. Real hard.
My big thing that I need to do, and I have not done it, is that I'm going to get fully on board with Krypton.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we love Cameron. He's great. Last year when I went to the Comic-Con panel for Krypton and they did the here's everything that happened, it looked great. And Cam was very much like, honestly, from this you can jump into season 2. And now everything I've seen with season 2 looks awesome, including Lobo, including they're doing a thing right now of like the actual backstory to Doomsday, which isn't as stupid as it was in... It doesn't look stupid like it was in the comic books. Mm. This one actually looks really cool and like terrifying.
Is it stupid in the comic books?
Totally. We got this fucking weird baby. We're going to keep sending it out there. It keeps getting killed and we keep cloning and it keeps remembering. And all right, whatever.
That's pretty cool.
Fucking this looks better. This looks way better.
All right. Moving on to our next story. The Expanse Season 4 news has come out. They put a trailer out and we know that it is coming to Amazon Prime December 13th, 2019. The Expanse, a show that I've gotten into very recently. Oh my God, I love it. I watched all 3 seasons in like 2 weeks.
There's too many of them. What's the nutshell to this? What happens? What's the plot?
In the future, we've colonized Mars and the asteroid belt.
Nice.
And like Mars has become their own nation.
Oh.
And like they're at war with like Earth, kind of. They keep going back and forth. And the asteroid belt we need for the resources, like water and shit.
Gotcha.
And there's this weird like alien something that starts off the whole series.
Gotcha. Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really good. Okay. I really enjoy it. It is like super high fantasy with like crazy drama, similar to Game of Thrones. People were recommending it once Game of Thrones got bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I made myself sad there. Yeah. I'm very excited. Star Trek Picard news.
Ooh. Oh, man. Yeah.
Oh, I'm very excited for the show. We got a trailer and they made this announcement of a bunch of people are coming back. Brent Spiner as Data, 7 of 9. Commander William Riker, Deanna Troi, Hugo the Borg. It's just a lot of good news if you like Next Generation.
So here's my question for you. It's obviously Star Trek Discovery.
Uh-huh.
I'm in. Uh-huh, I love Star Trek Discovery, right?
Uh-huh.
I have CBS All Access, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this.
Yeah.
Do I need to go back and watch all of
it? I think there's... No. You don't have to watch all of it. I'm sure that there'll be some sort of...
List of like the 10 episodes you need.
But I'm sure they're smart and they understand there's a bunch of people that are coming from Discovery watch Picard. I'm sure there's going to be some sort of like recap thing that'll get you where you need to be.
Okay. But in the opposite side of what you were just talking about, of like there's no way you're going to want to watch all the DC shows leading into this thing. Do you feel like watching all Next Generation's worth
Next
it
Generation's
for this?
Awesome. There's too much of it.
Yeah.
You know,
how many seasons were there?
I
want to
say there's 6.
Okay.
It's seven
seasons. There were supposed to be 8, and then they canceled them for something.
There's a lot of episodes, and there's a lot of filler stuff. It's a great show. I'm sure a recap would be just as good. there's going to be connections to one of the like the last movie that Picard was in that I haven't watched that Ooh. I probably should watch. Mm. And like that one's not supposed to be great.
That was the one where there's a clone of him, right?
Nemesis?
Yeah, Star Trek
was
Nemesis.
Was there one after that?
I don't remember with one with him. I feel like that was the last Next Generation one.
Because like, and I don't know that like...
Fun fact, that's Tom Hardy in that.
Yeah, no, I'm aware. Yeah.
So weird.
Anyway, so that's awesome news. And then our last news story before we jump in our big topic is actually Avengers news.
Oh, real quick. The last thing I want to say about Picard is the trailer looked fantastic. I have not watched Star Trek at all. Like, I liked the recent movies. I liked the first two a lot. But then this looks fantastic. And to me, this is proof of where streaming services are going. Mm-hmm. Discovery's great. People are loving it. But now this is the step of like, no. We're going to like give you the show you actually really, really, really want.
It's very exciting.
And it looks like they're going to nail it. Like all this news sounds like they are giving people the, you know, kind of the Logan of Star Trek.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to include in trailer talk, but Nick isn't here and he is... You know, a big Star Wars Trek fan. So we'll talk about it next week, probably. The last news story I want to include before we jump into the Marvel news is Endgame.
I want to be
finally Endgame. Surpasses Avatar as the number one highest grossing movie of all time.
During the panel.
Yeah.
During the fucking panel.
Really exciting stuff. So congratulations to them.
Absolutely crazy. Yeah.
Suck it with your crappy your Avatar movie. We hate you.
It's a good movie. We hate it.
By $1 million at this point.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
$1 million over.
Are you guys, this is something I don't say often, are you guys going to buy Avengers?
So here's my reason why I'm not.
Okay.
The release is garbage. The 4K release is missing a whole bunch of things. It doesn't have HDR 10 plus. It doesn't have Dolby Vision. It doesn't have the IMAX version. So I'm pretty mad about all of that.
Okay.
And also a lot of my friends are buying it, so I'm sure I'll be able to just borrow it, watch it, whatever. But I will eventually, hopefully, when they announce a big box set or something.
Yeah.
Hopefully, if it's 4K, you know, and hopefully when IMAX gets involved, I'm buying that.
You assume for Christmas this year, right? The Infinity Saga.
We'll talk a little later about like all the Marvel stuff, but like to get to it now, it's like they showed the logo for the Infinity Saga.
Yep.
So it's like that exists for a reason.
Yeah.
I imagine that will be some sort of box set. My problem is I don't see them like we have to wait until Far From Home is out on Blu-ray. It's not going to come out for at least a couple months after that happens because they're not going to miss out on their
sales
home
for
video sales
home,
for that, right?
So, but the other thing is this is going to be a collector's item. Like you'd imagine this is going to be in a crazy set that's awesome and it's going to include 22 movies. Like this is not going to be for your regular buyers.
There's a lot of questions there though. Like are they going to go the 4K route? Not all movies are 4K yet. They've been
most of them, right?
I wouldn't say most.
There's very few.
I think it's about 50-50 at this point that are 4K. Yeah, they just finished or they... The Iron Man are on pre-order right now, all three of them. They're not out yet. Like, if I remember correctly, Captain America trilogy just released fully in 4K. So it's like they're kind of like making their way through, which is good. One day we'll get that. But with the weird licensing and stuff, of like, I wonder, are we going to get Incredible Hulk? Are we going to get Homecoming and Far From Home? I'm not sure that they'll be allowed to do that in some type of box set.
That's really interesting.
And on top of that, I wonder if like even the collector's edition, if it's going to be like the Lord of the Rings style, like we're giving you so much behind the scenes. This is the definitive collector set that's going to be worth $1,000 or $700, whatever.
But I mean, that's 22 movies.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Buying them separately, you're going to get really high in it.
I think there's a higher chance of them putting out a not as crazy collector's edition to keep the cost down that might just be, here's the Blu-rays, here's the discs.
Or here's like the essentials. They might do like a, like, I don't know, most popular.
No way.
Greatest hits.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that.
No?
No. They're going to also do the phase 3 box because they've done phase 1 and 2.
Yeah.
And they're so hard. Those are so hard to get now.
Well, yeah. The phase 1 like is famous because the box that they used, like they didn't have rights for it. Not the Tesseract.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, the
Tesseract
suitcase. So like they made them and then had to stop selling them. So now they're super rare and very expensive.
They didn't own the box?
The briefcase that they used is the same one from the movie, but they don't own the copyright to that briefcase.
Gotcha.
So the company that makes the briefcase was like, not cool, bro, and sued them.
Give us $1 billion.
Yeah.
Congrats to Endgame. They did it.
Yeah.
I don't do physical media, but I want to buy Endgame for sure.
Yeah.
And I obviously, you know, I don't care about the bells and whistles. I want to get the extended features. I just want to watch it again. I want to watch it at my own speed. I want to pause it when everybody comes on screen.
When if we get a box that's like the 4K, like that's what I want. Like,
totally.
I hope it comes with a code and the code, like, you know.
Digital album.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm gonna get this movie at some point, and with Disney Plus, it's gonna be available.
Oh, that's a great point
to stream, yeah. And it's like that's not that far away. And December. Depending on how, like, they've been saying, talking about HDR and all that stuff with Disney Plus, and that's the stuff I care about. And the Infinity War to this day, it's like it's better to watch it streaming on Vudu than it is to watch the Blu-ray. Like, that's insane because it has Dolby Atmos and shit.
Like, assuming you have like excellent internet, yeah,
and TVs and all this stuff. Yeah. But we do so,
yeah. All right, now it's time for our big topic. It's time to talk about some Marvel news.
Tim Tam. Yes, baby. I got
notes. You got the rundown.
I got notes for days. 7 pages of stuff.
I'm very excited. It's cool
shit. First up, Bear, can you bring up the Infinity Saga logo? So this is what I'm talking about here.
Is that Jessica Chobot at San Diego Comic-Con?
Jessica Chobot hosting the Marvel Studios panel.
We know her.
What the hell, man? So cool. So proud of her. That was a surprise.
Yeah.
Like, I love how she didn't announce it.
I'm sure they said not to. I'm sure they said nobody say anything about this stupid thing. You know what I mean?
Man, just insane. Utterly insane. But yeah, so this was the Hall H panel that happened at San Diego Comic-Con this year. Despite me literally begging every single human being I knew to get in, we did not get in. God, we got close, though. But
how close to you?
We were close. Like...
He's standing outside. Yeah,
when I was Monday morning quarterbacking it, of like, man, we couldn't. Yeah, because like, I was trying to get him in through Marvel Games. So like, we can't get anybody in. Da, da, da. I was like, you know what? The rumor had always been that Kumail was in Eternals. Probably should have hit him up.
Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It's fine. It ended up
being something that, you know, we've pondered. We've postulated. Is that the word?
Mm-hmm.
Speculated on a lot of things over the last year at this point of like, what are they going to do after Endgame? Like, how are they going to announce the next lineup? And we were all convinced they weren't going to do the Phase 4, here's everything, here's the timeline. And they literally recreated what they did in 2014 for Phase 3.
I think we were all convinced. I was hoping that they were going to do this. I didn't expect them to also have the Disney Plus stuff.
And that is the key element to all of this, man. When it started and we just saw all the logos next to each other and it was just Untitled Project, Untitled going through it all. And he's like, we're going through Phase 3 today. And by the Phase 4. This is Phase 4. This is the entirety of Phase 4. All the other, anything that's not on that screen is Phase 5 or beyond.
Yeah,
he said that in a whole bunch of different interviews because it did kind of seem like this is only 2 years. That would make this the shortest.
That was my thing when it popped up and I was watching Agent M's Twitter, mm-hmm. and when he popped up with the image, I was like, Jen, like, there's 6 things on here and it's only through 2021. Like that's like
10 things.
Ten
things. But that, when I was looking at it, I had the same moment where I was like, it's 2021, and I was in the car with my friends and like I was giving them updates and I was like doing the math and I'm like, wait a minute, like. 2 of these are 2020. 3 of these are 2020. 7 of these are 2021. Are we about to get 7 new movies? Like, yeah, that's exactly. Insane. And then when they started talking about it in the TV shows, I'm like, this is brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the best possible future for this, where this shows their commitment to these Disney shows. Plus, yeah. And for these shows are going to matter equally to
the
movies.
What a seal of approval. And it goes back to what we've talked about before on our, postulating shows in the way of like, does it get confusing? Do you not know what is this and what? And like very much clear, like right, the Infinity Saga is here, and now here is Phase 4, and it includes these shows, and like you can actually sit there and do it. One question I have for you,
yeah,
and we're just shooting from the hip here. Go before we get into it. This came up on the subreddit, and I think it's a great question. Are we going to put the shows into MCU?
100%.
Just making sure. Episode by episode,
I think episode by episode.
You think episode by episode?
Here's the problem.
I think we do episode by episode MCU and review of the show,
and then we rank it against the movies.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, sure. That's great.
Whoa. But there's a thing that we still don't have the answers to that I'm hoping D23 kind of goes into a bit more. Remember, we have D23 next month.
So
like,
exciting.
Like that is insane. And like I'm jumping ahead of it here, but Daniel RPK, who's one of the like Marvel guys, doesn't always get things right, but he's one of the leaker insider people on that side of things. He tweeted out, "You thought this was good. Get ready for D23 with a little like eye emojis." And who the fuck knows? Maybe he's just like looking
but
for
I mean,
some
like,
internet clout.
I could see that being the deep dive into like, "Hey, look, this is what we have on the stuff that we've shown already." And maybe this is hints of what Phase 5 is going
to
look like.
Well, we get that at the end of this, though, right? In
terms of
the
hints. True,
Yeah, so I'm just going to...
I don't think they're going to go beyond it. Let's talk about Phase 4 and talk about Comic-Con.
Start at the end real quick of just like a couple like things to keep in mind overall like that I found from interview quotes from Collider and Variety and IGN and MTV and stuff with Kevin Feige. With Collider, he says, "This is the complete Phase 4, the way I announced the complete Phase 3 5 years ago. Things can move, things can change as they did if you go back and look at..." Can you bring this up? Thank you.
That's so cool.
As you, things can change as they did if you go back and look at what we talked about 5 years ago for Phase 3, but we've been working on this for quite a while, and it's pretty set, but there are always changes possible. MTV talked to him and said, are you already planting the seeds for the next crossover event, whether it's Secret Wars or whatever? And Feige says, yes, we debated what we should announce today. Should we announce 4 and 5? We've planned them out. We've got 5 years down the road. And I was like, I think 11 projects in 2 years is plenty.
Dude, this looks
now,
so cool.
An interesting thing, he said 11 projects in 2 years. There's only 10 projects here. So did he misspeak? Was he including Blade, even though Blade's not going to be in the next 2 years? Mm. Or is he understanding the fact that Spider-Man is a part of this? We just don't have an announcement yet, and that's because the Sony side of the licensing and all of that.
Interesting.
If we want to talk about that for a second, some interesting Spider-Man stuff going on. I was trying to do some deep dives into the contracts, into the figuring out what's going to happen.
Did you call Tom Holland?
I called him. He didn't answer.
Gotcha.
So I tried to look into the contract stuff of Tom Holland. How many Spider-Man movies is he signed on for? Blah, blah, blah. These contracts are not public records. So it's not like you can just find this. So it's all kind of hearsay of what people
stuff
have said
yeah.
from things that have heard, people like reports the journalists have got and whatever. So the initial deal was only signed for 6 movies with Holland, broken down to 3 solo films and 3 appearances in other Disney-distributed Marvel Studios movies. So
they've got
Civil War,
more?
Infinity War, Endgame, his crossovers are done.
Yeah.
Solo movies, there would be one more. But producer Amy Pascal, who's the person that made the deal on the Sony side, hinted in 2017 that Spider-Man and his supporting cast could eventually disappear from the MCU. She said at the time, one of the things that I think is so amazing about this experience is that you don't have studios deciding to work together to make a film very often. In fact, it may never happen again after we do the sequel to Spider-Man Homecoming.
That's crazy.
It's fucking idiotic is what it is.
Well, now, I mean, like, they can make a shit ton of money just making their own Spider-Man movie, and like, then they have all the money and all the clout.
Don't do
their
that.
Own,
don't
their
do
own
that.
Shitty
don't
Spider-Man movies.
Don't fuck
movies.
This up. Don't
Here's
fuck this up, Sony.
Here's the thing. This is where things get into the more rumory, unconfirmed territory of, did this guy actually get this info, or is he just doing this to get a fucking headline? But a couple months ago, in a recent edition of journalist Richard Rushfield's entertainment industry newsletter, The Ankler, and Rushfield is a pretty respected dude in that field. He's been on the business podcast many times and stuff. Like, he seems to know what he's talking about. Rushfield peels back the secretive curtain of the deal that was signed between Sony and Marvel Studios back in 2015 to share the character. Quote, the original Sony/Marvel/Spidey deal to co-produce these movies stipulated that if this Spider-Man cleared $1 billion, Far From Home, Marvel would get to oversee a third. If it doesn't, full control would have been reverted back to Sony.
Did it clear $1 billion?
Not yet. Yeah. And so that's
not close.
It didn't look close when it first launched. It looked like it made amazing money, but not $1 billion. But as of right now, it's looking real good. Spider-Man Far From Home is at $970.8 million.
We'll see.
As of this weekend. It has $30 million left. It's only been in theaters like 2 weeks. I think it's going to be fine if any other Marvel track record is to show. In fact, it gets even weirder when it comes to these box office numbers. No superhero movie is between 900 and a billion. It's always either under 900 or over a billion. Gotcha. Huh. So there's some trend that's just like, if it is that successful, it's going to push over. Interesting.
God, I hope they keep the
don't fuck this
to
up.
It. Yeah.
Don't fuck
yeah,
this
don't
up.
Fuck it up.
Yeah.
Just don't fuck it up. But interesting Spider-Man stuff here is, so Far From Home is at 970.8 million, which makes it the highest grossing Spider-Man movie ever already.
Wow.
Spider-Man 3 is the second at 890. Spider-Man Homecoming at 880. Spider-Man 1 at 821. 2 at 783. So the one that everyone says is the best of the Tobey Maguire ones. Like, that's surprising. And then Amazing Spider-Man and 1 and then 2 at 757, 709. And this is the heartbreak. Into the Spider-Verse at 375.
Oh my God.
Watch that fucking movie, you dumbasses.
Man. Animated.
Yeah.
Animated.
It's just like,
so good,
what a
though.
Shot in
dude,
the kneecap, man.
Are you kidding me? I'm the first to say it. I tweeted about it this weekend that I thought about the message in the movie and started tearing up.
It's on Netflix. Right now.
I'm well aware. Trust me, it's definitely when I pop
it's one
on
of those ones I pop over just to look at the trailer. to have it like autoplay. But yeah, so all that Spider-Man stuff is interesting.
It's so scary too.
Yeah, it is. But I think we're gonna hit that mill.
I want to reread this quote just to myself, but I'll give you back. Okay.
Also, I mean, they made a lot of money off Venom. I'm sure Morbius is gonna do well too. Like, hopefully that's enough for them.
Will Morbius do? Because Venom, I get Venom.
Nobody
is
thought
that, like
no, nobody thought Venom was gonna do well. We saw the trailers for Venom. We're like, oh, that movie's terrible.
You guys didn't like the trailer for Venom, but of it doing well, that was never a question.
Yeah, it was. No, 100% was a question. Venom, it doing well isn't a surprise. Yeah. It was a question for sure. A Venom movie without Spider-Man? No way. But Venom is a popular character. That's yes, like,
exactly.
I get
and he's a popular enough character where you could pull that off.
Just like Morbius? Morbius?
No. Fucking vampire. No.
But it's the same idea, right? Is that they're going to have the Marvel logo on it. Not Marvel Studios, but the Marvel logo. And everybody's going to be in the same way here. Like, that was one of the funny memes going around after this, right? Of like, after Kevin Feige realizes he can slap the logo on anything, and it was the Guardians of the Galaxy 2, I'm going to make some weird shit, right? Because all this shit is like, whatever, but it's got the fucking logo on it, so everybody's like, yeah.
To get through the stuff that's not on the lineup right now, Guardians 3 was talked about, but Feige said that it's happening. James Gunn tweeted, sorry to disappoint, Guardians Volume 3 is happening, but I'm finishing Suicide Squad first.
That's what you get.
Fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah, we got him now, boys. Yeah.
And then Variety, Kevin Feige was saying on Fantastic Four that all of that is spoilers, but I'm extremely excited about the characters and bringing Marvel's first family up to the sort of platform and level that they deserve.
Oh my God.
I'm well aware of what we need to do.
That was the ending, right? Where he's like, that's Phase 4, and everybody's going crazy. He's like, we didn't get to talk about everything. We didn't even talk about Fantastic Four. Should have known Tim had it, because he talks about the sequels first.
Yeah.
So he talks about Captain Marvel 2, Black Panther 2, Guardians Fantastic 3. Four.
It's wild to me that they're not in this phase.
Yes and no. Again, we were talking about this earlier, you and me, when we first got here and started ranting about all this. It is the fact that it's so short. Mm-hmm. It is just till 2021. I get that like they're still so far out that like getting those deals and you can't fast track them, right? You have a plan. You have a vision. You got to bring them in later.
But you got to imagine Black Panther 2, as soon as they were done with Black Panther, or at least as soon as it premiered and like made $1 billion, they were like, oh, let's work on this right now.
Sure, but I mean, it's got to be what, in some kind of form of pre-pro, right? You figure that's going to be for sure. I'd say what, Black Panther 2 probably is going to be the spring 2022 movie.
I wonder if there's any like, is any of this like this way because of X-Men and Fantastic Four and incorporating
them? Okay, check this. I do have the quote here. He says, we didn't have time to talk about Black Panther 2. We didn't mention the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming. We didn't have time to talk about Captain Marvel 2. It's on the way. I didn't even have time to talk about the Fantastic Four. And there's no time left to talk about mutants and how they'll make their way into the MCU.
Did you see that live? Did you see the video clip of it?
Yes.
It's good.
It's amazing.
Like, you want to talk about like what we were all feeling. I was at the grocery store refreshing this, like what we were all feeling to hear that audience fucking pop.
Insane,
nonstop,
man.
When fucking Mahershala Ali puts on the blade cap, the way they fucking lose their mind.
Oh, man.
Jesus.
So
it reminds me so much of the Phase 3 announcement.
It's
video.
Amazing. Yeah. It's just, the Variety has a clip of the entire panel up that you can watch. It just doesn't have any of the exciting stuff, like any of the big reveals or any of the actual footage. And then to IGN clarified in an interview with Feige about his statement of mutants. He's like, why'd you say mutants and not X-Men? And he was like, mutants and X-Men are interchangeable. I just said mutants. Whatever we do will be quite different than what's been done before.
Interesting.
Hell so, yeah.
Yeah, cool stuff all around.
X-23.
Now, going back to the beginning. Can you bring this up, please, Barrett? To read through everything, Black Widow, May 1st, 2020. The Eternals, November 6th, 2020. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Fall 2020. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings, February 21st, 2021. February 12th, 2021. WandaVision, Spring 2021. Loki, Spring 2021. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Hell yes. Such a good name.
Yes. May 7th, 2021. What If? Summer 2021. Hawkeye, Fall 2021. Thor, Love and Thunder.
Let's go!
With the coolest fucking logo on there.
November 5th, 2021. Blade, with the date, TBA. Black Panther 2, TBA. Guardians 3, TBA. Captain Marvel 2, TBA. Fantastic 4, TBA. Mutants, TBA. Spider-Man 3, ?
That sounds some good movie watching and TV watching.
Oh, man.
Hell you want to talk about selling Disney Plus?
That's the way
Done.
To do it.
I mean, there's my money. Take it.
Here's the thing. So we're getting scrambled all around here. What I was saying that I'm excited for D23 is I want confirmation on how these shows are going to be released. Is it binge or is it episodic? Because
I thought they already said it was episodic.
All we know is Mandalorian 1 and 2 seem to be episodic. We don't have any release schedule for the rest of them.
I hope they binge it.
I don't. I hope it's episodic, man.
I also want it to be episodic for multiple reasons. Because one, we could definitely content-wise, it'd be great for us.
And I just feel like it's going to like keep the conversation going. Like MCU lasts
so
forever.
Money hungry with your content.
No, also,
I'm
like,
joking.
It makes it better, I think. It is important that like, I feel like if these shows are so well thought and developed, binging them may not be the best way to consume them. Like having time to build suspense and also get excited is important, and like waiting a week,
cliffhangers.
Yeah, exactly.
Have they talked about how many episodes this stuff is?
So everything they're saying so far is just speaking right to my goddamn soul. They're aiming for 6 to 8 episodes,
okay,
like 6 being the goal, and trying to just make it a tight story. And they're treating these as if they're projects equal to movies.
Okay.
So it's like they want it to count as much story-wise.
Hour-long episodes, you think?
I'd imagine.
It's
yeah,
a lot.
It's a lot.
Yeah, especially because they got like
40 to an hour, I would imagine. Yeah. Will these have post-credit scenes? You got to imagine they will. Ooh. Not after every episode, but
after
the final one. And it's like, are those post-credit scenes going to move into the other movies? What I also really like is I don't expect that we're going to see seasons of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like,
no, right, yeah, yeah.
This is what it is. And it's like, this is such a cool MCU version of what they're doing. And seeing them all together, it's like, yep, these are all equal products.
It's just so exciting. And to like the story that they're going to go with Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah.
So,
it's very exciting.
Can you bring up the cast pick? So this is the Phase 4 cast pick. Pretty damn epic. Holy I love that there's so many new faces that we're going to end up loving eventually.
I love the dude that's going to be the voice of Watcher.
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Wright.
Yeah. Very exciting.
From Westworld, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So going into it, let's start with Black Widow. May 1st, 2020. Can you bring up the logo there? That's what we got. Directed by Kate Shortland. She's best known for her films Somersault, Lore, and Berlin Syndrome. They're all film festival winners. So she's kind of on the smaller side right now. Good. This goes back to what like the earlier phases of MCU really were doing. I mean, all of them really. Like, you know, Russo's weren't big until they were.
Yeah.
Right? Taika wasn't big until he was. So, cool stuff. We got another cast pick here of them. So there's the Black Widow cast. He's got a
Rachel Wise, dude. That's awesome. And this dude from Stranger Things. Why is he smelling David Rachel Wise's hair?
I think he's a little kissy kiss.
Because he's weird.
This is the dude on the left is the one from Handmaid's Tale, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
okay. So, yeah, going through the cast here, on the left, on your left, we have O.T. Fagbenley, who you may know as the underrated Bay Luke in Handmaid's Tale.
He's great.
His character is a fixer who's not an Avenger. He reportedly has a bit of friction with Natasha and may be romantically linked to her. Then next to him, we got Florence Pugh, who was recently in Midsommar. And she was Paige in Fighting With My Family, the WWE thing.
Okay.
Really good. As Talina Belova.
That girl can act very well.
I'm wrong with this. She's Yelena. In a quick beat during the film, during the Comic-Con panel, the studio shared footage of Yelena and Natasha fighting each other in Budapest. They kind of have a sister relationship. Mm-hmm. Natasha actually calls her sis. But, gotcha. Like, I don't know if it's, like, real sis or, like...
She might be one of the other ballerina
types. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we got Black Widow.
You think they're setting up a new Black Widow?
Yes. Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And then we got Rachel Weisz as Melina. We last saw her romancing and pushing around a queen in The Favorite. Her character has been cycled through the Black Widow training project called The Red Room since she was a child, first appearing in 1983 in Marvel Fanfare number 11. Iron Maiden was one of the several mercenaries hired by a character named Damon Dran to eliminate Black Widow.
Rachel Weisz is such a good actress. I'm excited to see her in
Mummy.
More stuff. Yeah.
We have David Harbour.
The Favorite, too.
Nah, Mummy, man.
Yeah, all right, you're right.
Currently Mummy Stranger as Things well. As Alexei. He's going to be Alexei in this as the Red Guardian, essentially a Russian version of Captain America. Harbour also recently starred in the title role of the reboot of Hellboy.
So he's already a titled, established character. People who are saying they want him as the Thing, stop. He's not going to be the Thing.
It's over.
This movie is the prequel to him becoming the Thing. Just putting that out there.
I think that would be a very weird choice.
He's like, I can't. He's like, I got to go deep undercover. I'm going to America. And the last shot is him opening a passport, and it's Ben Grimm. And everybody's like, woo!
So they showed some footage of this set after Civil War. It shows her. It starts with like a montage of all her strongest relationships. So you kind of see like her from past movie footage with Cap and Clint and Iron Man. And it ends with the kind of the betrayal part of Civil War and her being on the run. They keep talking about that wants to wipe the red from her ledger. Definitely the theme of the movie. She returns to Budapest. Taskmaster is the villain in the footage shown.
Right, Taskmaster.
Yelena is sister-like to Natasha, and they fight at some point. It's been filming for 30 days, and they showed footage of Budapest, Natasha versus Yelena, Natasha versus Taskmaster, brutal fights, great action, gorgeous shots. Can you bring up the concept art? There you go. That's a concept art of Taskmaster. Looking dope as fuck.
Does he?
I'm into this concept art. I really like how this is going to translate to...
Imagine him with a big-ass sword.
Yeah, that's all fine. It's just the ski goggles. Like, come on.
Looks that's
like
concept.
He looks like a metal man.
We're going to make it look more skull-like.
Have you seen the leak shots? I mean, granted, they're leaked, so who cares, but...
Yeah, remember when we saw leak shots of Mysterio and then how he ended up looking?
Yep.
Or Captain Marvel. I remember Marvel. Being all on board.
And those weren't leak shots. Those are the shots.
The EW shots EW or shots, whatever.
Where it's like, why is she in this like frumpy, weird suit?
Sure.
And now her suit is like awesome.
Yeah.
We all loved her suit.
You're right, Will
remember
Smith.
Remember how much
Aladdin.
We loved it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Will Smith. Aladdin. Never forget. But anyway, Taskmaster is fucking dope. And apparently in the trailer, it's Taskmaster doing what he does, which is mimic your kind of fighting style and moves and stuff. And
so cool.
Like, they're doing the same, like, Herc and Rana type shit, and then they both land in the same pose.
That's wild.
Somebody on the subreddit brought up the idea that since he's using the shield, has he been watching Captain America footage?
Yep.
And all that shit.
Freaking tight. Really love that. I think that's all we really got for
Black Widow.
Next movie up.
Do you think that Hawkeye makes a guest appearance in there?
Maybe.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Give him a good moment.
Yeah, especially because she's back in Budapest, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She also didn't get a super huge goodbye in Endgame.
This movie, I imagine, is going to be the...
Right, the like where it's like we get that meaningful, heartfelt moment with someone like Hawkeye.
If I had to guess, they're going to build up this Yelena chick, and she's going to like pass the torch. But like, I'm sure like at some point, whether it's the end or post-credits, there'll be some type of big boss visiting the... Tombstone type.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Falcon and the Winter Soldier next up. Here's the logo. Anthony Mackie was in an interview and he said that he was fitted for a new Captain America costume.
Oh, God. Hey, even him walking on the set of the Holly's panel with the shield.
They bring it up.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Here we go.
Look at him.
Look how happy he is. You can see in his eyes.
He's Captain America,
dude. Fucking America.
You gotta love it. It's interesting that they didn't change the name of the show. Because that was kind of the idea. Like,
but I like your idea that you brought up earlier where it's the Falcon becoming Captain America.
And I think that's what it's going to be. But I think it's interesting. Like, everyone kind of thought they were going to change the name, especially because they changed the logo.
Yeah.
You know? But they showed an original logo for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
They added the shield, Greg.
At Disney Plus.
Oh. Remember it looked like... What, like the Falcon looked different.
There was a Falcon,
the Winter Soldier,
the Red Falcon,
also.
The Winter Soldier, little like.
I think it plays in perfectly because totally. By the end of this, the
also,
Falcon will be no more.
More Baron Zemo. All right,
so
with his little purple mask.
That is the biggest thing here,
Bacon
man.
Guy.
Yeah. There
he is.
There we go, Bacon Guy making his return. They did a fun little thing where he had like a video message of the
Bacon
actor
guy.
Daniel Brühl as Helmet Zemo making his return, but now he actually has the comic accurate. Hood.
Remember, Bacon Guy, right now, number 4.
Wow.
Overall, Ragu Bagu list.
I mean, he was a fantastic villain, and it's interesting that he's going to be put in the show, because it's like, he's so much smarter than these guys, you know?
It's going to be cool. I mean, this is going to be a very awesome show, and obviously a testament and, like, the test bed for what these Disney Plus shows, like, where their quality actually is.
Do we get old Chris Evans in there somewhere?
God. I hope not, because it's going to pull on some heartstrings that I don't want to
I feel like there has to be
at least one thing they need to prove that this is like, yo, motherfuckers, you got to watch this show.
Exactly. I feel like they get their ass kicked by Baron, and like there's like a, like they are down in the dumps, will never be able to do it, and they get like a pep talk from old Chris Evans on his deathbed.
Yes.
Wouldn't he have gone back to his own timeline somehow?
This is his timeline.
No, it's not.
You're so wrong.
And
it sucks.
How is it not his timeline?
Because he lived in another universe that like had him marry What's-Her-Face and
right,
go on.
Right, but he's from our timeline, the timeline he's come back to. This is his timeline is what I'm saying.
I mean, kind of.
And you can't go back because if you can't go back to the other timeline, that timeline's all on its own.
It's all murky stuff now, you know?
You'd have to have Tony Stark do it, and guess what? He's fucking dead. His daughter might be able to figure it out, but she's too young to figure it out, so he's going to die here alone. Now, don't get me wrong. Peggy already died. That's clearly why he felt like he'd
How'd
come
she
over.
Die, Greg?
Yeah. How did she die? Fucking.
Captain America.
That formula was still in
another Captain America came from another dimension.
Sam will wear the Cap costume at some point. They confirmed. which is really cool.
Probably last scene.
Then, you think so?
I hope it's earlier.
Last scene is like the
easy answer. But I feel like
it would be doing Daredevil right. Remember how Daredevil, right. Season one, he finally gets it and gets on one fight. And you're like, well, that fucking sucked. This one would be cool because it would be like, cool. The final fight. I finally feel Cap's just died. I feel like I need to. I understand. They have Bucky. He puts it all on. He's like, chink, let's go. They do the one episode that he fucking does it and he's Captain America. And then it is the graduation.
And
movies.
He's got to say, suit up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I hope they do it in like the second episode and like he fails miserably.
Yeah.
Takes like it off.
That's good too. I'm not ready.
He's back in his thing and then gets a modified version that's better for his wings or something, you know?
Sure.
Love it. Oh. God, what a world we live in.
Do we think he's keeping the wings?
Yeah, he's going to keep the wings. Why the fuck would he ruin it? Like, that's his thing. Like, he doesn't have Super Serum Soldier in him.
Real quick, Google Sam Wilson, Captain America.
Yeah.
No, I'll be honest, I really wish he wouldn't keep the wings.
I just
want to
show people.
I agree that he needs to.
That's what makes him special.
Now he doesn't look like Captain America. Now he looks like
here's the thing. It's a new Captain
America.
Down
to the right.
Down to the left.
Left. Right. Yeah.
Look at that.
That's too much.
Go.
Got too many things going.
Hell no, dude. Love it.
I'm into it.
Oh my God.
We just don't know yet, right?
Do we think that Bucky's going to hold the shield at all?
I mean, he'll pick it up at some point.
Like, but prepping for like, hey, he's going to be Captain America someday.
He'll never be Captain America.
He'll be Captain America. Get the fuck out of here.
No, I'm sorry, buddy. Sorry.
Eternals up next. November 6th, 2020. Here's the logo right now.
Very cool.
Directed by Chloe Zhao, a Chinese film director, screenwriter, and producer. Her debut feature film, Songs My Brothers Taught Me in 2015, premiered at Sundance. Her second feature film, The Writer, in 2017, was critically acclaimed and received several accolades, including nominations for Independent Spirit Award and Best Film and Best Director. So another smaller director making big moves. Feige says, quote, it will be a story that will introduce you to this incredibly eclectic group of immortals. They're the focus of the story. It takes place in our universe. It takes place in the MCU, so you'll hear mentions and stuff about it. But yes, the Celestials go back a long way. We know a little bit about them. The Collector told us about Celestials. Nowhere is the severed head of a Celestial, the planet. Ego was involved with them, but we learn much more about their agenda and what they've been up to. So there's a lot of talk of, like, was Ego really a Celestial, or was he just wrong and, like, egotistical?
Yeah.
I did a little research into who the hell the Eternals are, because even after all this, I still don't really know. Yeah. There's someone that I'm definitely not familiar with.
No, go ahead.
The Eternals are immortal aliens sent here by the Celestials to protect humanity from the Deviants. The Celestials were essentially the very first beings ever created. In the comics, the multiverse as a whole will occasionally die, and a new one will be born. We're currently on the 8th version. The Celestials originate in the first multiverse and have been basically seeding and experimenting with life ever since in each multiverse. They're responsible for the shaping of the universe, essentially. In the comics, they're also the creators and distributors of the Infinity Gems. They make them at a place known outside of reality, and then place them in each universe. They're responsible for a lot of Earth's powers as they meddled in early human genes. So this, I'm going to stop right now and just say, earlier you're asking about like, what's this doing for X-Men or whatever.
Yeah.
Phase 4, I very much think, is we're going small. We're introducing a bunch of characters, but they're totally building
setting everything up.
For X-Men, all the big crossover events.
Thanos is a deviant.
Yeah. This resulted in several offshoots of humanity, including Eternals, Deviants, Mutants from the X-Gene, and sometimes indirectly the Inhumans, for Kree activating latent genes left by the Celestials. They're essentially like semi-robotic gods that show up time to time, either as plot devices or threats. Nobody actually knows what they look like without their armor. The Eternals were the first race born from the Celestials meddling with early humanity. The cast makes up second second and third generation Eternals. As Eternals lived on, some were born with something called the Deviant Gene and become more monstrous, and it's looking like the Deviants will be the antagonists of the film. The Eternals would stay on Earth and get involved in all sorts of things from our history. Another offshoot would leave and settle on the moon of Titan, where Thanos would be born to an Eternal named Alars.
Also, I mean, is there a lot of mystery of what they look like? I feel like people inside nowhere kind of an understanding of what that... Right?
The skull?
The inside of the skull?
Yeah, like, but I think it's talking about like under the weird armor stuff. So there's concept art of the Celestials.
Yes, and it looks so cool.
So.
Look at that. This movie is going to be really interesting, and I'm very, very excited for it because it's just, this is like broad, like giant stuff that we're not used to, like, we're not used to thinking of when we think about
cosmic shit.
Yeah, Marvel, and where it's like, is a bunch of this movie going to take place in the millions of years ago?
Like over time.
Yeah.
Could be interesting. A Reddit user, XX Francisco, says, curious, maybe the Celestials, the true Celestials, not wannabes like Ego, got powered by the stones. Mm-hmm. We would just miss Mind, who would be the one whose head ended up becoming nowhere. Also, I like that the power Celestial is the smallest one of all. So there you go. And we've seen this in Thor Dark World, this power gem guy on the bottom. Was it Dark World?
No, it was Guardians 1.
Yeah. This is interesting, and the coloring does definitely add up.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then we're missing, which one was it? The soul? No.
Mind.
So then, can you go over to the next picture? Yeah, pull this up, please. So this is the Eternals cast with who they are. I'm going to do this a little bit out of order because that's how I have it written. Angelina Jolie. I got all this from Alejandro Salazar at Refinery 29. Angelina Jolie is Thena, the warrior daughter of the eternal Zeus. You might have guessed it, but there are deliberately strong parallels to Athena and Zeus. Thena's original story actually begins when she changes her birth name, Azura, so that she and her father could serve as Athena and Zeus's human representatives on Earth. Along with being a formidable warrior with your standard super strength, among other abilities, it's not clear which power she'll have in this movie. Thena is a noted scholar, having studied under both eternal and human teachers across millennia. She's the cousin of Thanos.
Ooh,
He's purple.
Then we got Richard Madden, who is Robb Stark in Game of Thrones, Prince Charming in the live-action Cinderella, recently in Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah.
He is Icarus.
He's good in Rocket Man. He's a bad guy in that movie.
His character actually has a personal relationship to the Icarus of legend. In the comics, Icarus was the father of Icarus. One of those Icaruses has a K, one of them has a C, who was born to a human mother. Icarus with a C died in the comics, and as he did in his myth, by devising a winged flight suit flying too close to the sun and falling to his tragic death. And in mourning, Icarus with a K took his son's name to honor his memory. Then we got Kumail Nanjiani. You know him from Silicon Valley and The Big Sick. He's Kingo. Kingo is described as a samurai and master swordsman who parlayed his skills into a successful career as a film star and producer. No details have been released regarding how the Eternals will adapt him from the comics, but Nanjiani's bound to bring some always welcome comic relief to the film. He says, quote, Marvel movies have action, drama, romance, comedy. They have everything. So I'm just excited to be able to do all of that, Nanjiani said at Comic-Con. Lauren Rindloff, who was Miss Deaf America 2000 to 2002, and Connie from season 9 of The Walking Dead, is Makari. Rindloff is making MCU history as the franchise's first ever deaf superhero. And in yet another departure from the comics, Rindloff, a woman of color, plays the Eternal Makari, who's originally portrayed as a white man. Makari has superhuman speed and a history of meddling with human affairs, from the Trojan War to the reign of Vlad the Impaler to the Battle of Alamo. He's also a skilled engineer and scholar. We got Brian T. Henry. He's from the original cast of Book of Mormon, Atlanta, and Jefferson Davis from Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
He was also in Child's Play, and he was great in that.
Yeah, oh, really? The recent Child's Play. He's Phastos. Phastos is known for his intelligence and is often confused for the Greek god Hephaestus.
Hephaestus.
He reportedly has the pedigree to back it up. According to Nerdist, the character built most of the Eternals' devices. So we got the Donatello of the group.
Mm.
He does machines. Then we got Selma Hayek. Who is playing Ajak. In a clever bit of gender-bent casting, Hayek is playing Ajak, the leader of the Eternals. In the comics, Ajak spent much of his time in Central America and became a deity to indigenous populations in the region. The Aztecs thought he was... How do you say that, Kev?
Quetzalcoatl.
Quetzalcoatl.
Nice
the
job,
feathered
Kev.
Serpent and the Incas worshipped him as the Lord of Flight. Tekumatsin. During ancient Greek times, Ajak was confused for Ajax, a hero of the Trojan War, and at Comic-Con, Hayek introduced her character as a strong woman, adding there are a lot of motherly instincts in this Eternal who's not supposed to have kids. Don Lee, one of the most popular and bankable actors in South Korea, is Gilgamesh is named after the legendary hero and Mesopotamian king. It's unclear whether he actually is the Gilgamesh of lore. After years in exile, he was also dubbed the Forgotten One and became the physically strongest of the Eternals. He says, I can't wait to show you the power of Gilgamesh at Comic-Con. And when asked if he or the Incredible Hulk would win in a fight, he said Gilgamesh, but not after quipping, is Mark Ruffalo here? Because I don't want to upset him. And then we got Leah McHugh. a 12-year-old actor known for The Lodge, American Woman, and Totem. She's playing Sprite. This was rumored to be...
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Yes. But no, it's a little 12-year-old. Although physically a child, Sprite is an eternal. Sprite is an incorrigible trickster and practical joker and has been for centuries. It's rumored that in Marvel continuity, he was the inspiration for William Shakespeare to write the character of Puck in A Midsummer's Night Dream.
So you assume she has to die in this movie, right?
Right, because she can't
Young, yeah. She can't be young forever.
They or
can't.
Somehow she like they can break the eternal
yeah,
curse.
Exactly, right? Yeah. I'm like, I've always wanted to grow up, and that's what happens. Yeah.
He revels in what he sees as playful behavior, seemingly unmindful of the sometimes deadly consequences of his pranks, especially to fragile mortal humans. Though he has been punished time and time again for his actions, he always returns to his preferred way of life after a while.
This is their Loki.
Little Loki.
Yeah. Little Loki.
Just yeah. Little Loki.
Baby Loki.
It's crazy that like they're throwing this like giant world at us that's like, man, I cannot wait to jump in these characters. I hope that one of them is like huge and like we get movies that come out of this. Marvel, bless them.
For me, it's definitely, I love Marvel, and you put the studios on it, I'm going to go watch it. This is the one I'm least excited for, yeah, just because it gets so...
That's what you said about Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm just kidding.
I mean, I remember talking, not shit, but I was like, eh. But this one's so
big
that I have trouble wrapping my head around it.
This, I think, is going to be the biggest struggle of them so far. Mm-hmm. Because not only is it a bunch of characters with weird names that we don't know, like even comics fans aren't familiar with. Like these are even lesser... on the list than Guardians ever were.
Is that true?
Eternals? Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
I feel like Guardians
when Guardians... I definitely know.
When Guardians happened, it was like, Guardians?
Yeah, but sure, Guardians had popular
of them,
comic
right? You'd heard of Rocket Raccoon.
There are hero clicks of Guardians. Yeah. I don't know if there was of the Eternals. You know?
Great point. Hero clicks.
There might have been.
Decides all.
It does. No, but I think more than that is, what is the tone of this movie? I think Guardians succeeded so much because it was able to be this kind of like space comedy thing. And like from what we've seen of Marvel, space is comedy so far. Yeah. Right? We got Ragnarok.
I don't think that's going to stay the same.
And I don't know if that's going to
I think with this cast of characters and Kumail getting like, I think Kumail's going to be really funny. I think they have a really interesting thing. Remember when we read The Sword for Comic Book Club? I feel like it's a similar thing there. I just need you to nod. You didn't read it, I know.
It
was a similar thing of these gods that had existed forever on Earth, right? And like, there was enough diversity there that I think it's going to be really fun to start in the modern day of what they're doing and where they are and then rewind it and see them be these hulking beast gods that are doing all this different stuff. And maybe I'm misinterpreting the story all around.
Yeah, well, there's the hulking giant beast gods, like the Eternals or...
Yeah. Celestials.
Yeah, Celestials. Those are different. Like, those are the... We don't know what those are.
They created
100%.
Them.
Yeah.
Right.
I think they're going to interact with them in a more...
I think so, too.
Yeah. But then there'll be the basic Kumail playing video games, and you're like...
It's interesting because there could be in this... It could span like a big chunk of time.
Yeah.
And then part of that could be like, oh, this is what they did in the past. And then another part could be like, this is what they did behind the scenes in the MCU.
And that's the thing I'm most excited about is because like
know about.
Feige is saying it takes place in our universe. It takes place in the MCU. It's like, I think he's really talking about like all the stuff of it's not just going to be them doing Trojan Wars and blah, blah, blah. It's going to be events that
I think you'll see them. I think you're going to see, they'll go far enough back. You see them interact.
It'd be really cool if when, what's his face? Red Skull grabs the Tesseract and gets zapped somewhere else. There's someone on the other end being like, all right, we moved him and now he's over here. You have to do this now. And it's the Eternals that are running these minor things behind the scenes that will like.
And I feel like they have to do that type of stuff. Not too much of it, but like that grounds it in why we would give a shit about this whole thing. Totally. But yeah, I do think that this is going to be a big question for them, but like they're showing confidence having this be out the gate, one of the first phase four things to go. So then next up, we got Shang-Chi.
Wait, before you do that, let's take a moment to read some ads. Our first ad today is Me Undies. Summer comes with a number of awesome perks, vacation, beach days, barbecues, but one perk that outshines them all is summer-themed undies, courtesy of, you guessed it, Me Undies. Me Undies is the only brand that lets you eat pineapples while wearing pineapple undies. Ugh, pineapples are gross, but Me Undies are so comfortable. Or watch the skylight up on the 4th of July knowing your undies are doing the same. I love Me Undies so much. My onesie is my new favorite loungewear. I use it at home all the time. It's just so soft and comfortable when you wear them with your MeUndies. Nothing beats that comfort. Speaking of comfort, MeUndies scientists spent countless hours in their underwear labs testing out the softest fabrics in the land. The result? Micromodal fabric, which is a full 3 times softer than boring old cotton. Yeah. Cotton, you suck. Not only that, but you can match your bottom half with your better half in matching prints and colors. Look out for new summer theme prints dropping every Tuesday. Right now they have a little shark theme one that I really want to get.
Ooh.
It's a bunch of little sharks. I love it. I also have the pineapple one. I don't like pineapples, but God, I love MeUndies that I'll even wear these things. MeUndies also makes the softest lounge pants and onesies. I've talked about it. I really, really wanted to wear my onesies to the airport, but Paula was like, you don't got enough. Like, it has pockets. She just talked me out of it.
She scared you, but don't be scared, Kevin.
Paula also loves her new Merpeople lounge pants. Ooh. And I'm not going to lie, when I got them, it was real hard to give it to her because they could have been mine. You know?
Maybe when she's not home, you just sneak them on, you know?
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Finally, you can now watch match with your pup with their new Buddy Bands.
Aww.
Available in the same prints and colors as their MeUndies. This is important stuff, people. They're little bandanas you put on your pups.
Yeah,
or cats.
Ooh.
You know? Is Thomas going to wear one? I don't know. MeUndies has great offer for our listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies products, you get 15% off and free shipping. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. Go to get the 15% off, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/morning. That's MeUndies.com/morning. Our next ad is Quip. Packing your toiletries somehow always involves a delicate game of stacking and spacing, hacking, and don't get us started with the lotion exploding all over your dop kit. That happened to me this last trip to Austin. It was terrible. Oh, wow. I had sunscreen everywhere. My Go toothbrush, covered. Do you know why? Because it didn't have a little cover. It didn't have a cover on it. These MeUndies ones are great. These Quip ones are great. Let's see. That's why electric toothbrushes work just as well at home as they do on the go. The compact and wireless design tucks easily in the corner of your carry-on or your back pocket if you're just spending the night. Plus, travel-ready cover protects you. See, this is what I'm talking about, from the sandy swimsuits and luggage slip-ups. Like my sunscreen exploding. Heartbreak. And 3-month battery life will last through a season filled with weekend getaways. They're making it easier than ever to keep up with your wake up and wind down routine when you're out of the office. That's why Tim loves them so much. Also, they're super stylish. You guys get it.
I love my Quip very much. I'm Greg Miller, not Tim.
They also have the built-in two-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you to when to switch sides and help you clean your whole mouth. Which is super important because nobody does that right. We all know we take 15 seconds and we're done. With Quip, you can do it right. The multi-use cover works as stand, mounts to mirrors, slides over the bristles, keeps the pack and protect your Quip on the go. Quip is one of the first electric toothbrushes accepted by the American Dental Association. They're backed by over 25,000 dental professionals, and they have thousands of verified 5-star reviews. The new brush is the same size as our original. Oh, this is for kids. Just tweaked for size down mouths. Kids are inspired to brush better and more often with oral care that looks and feels like products the adults in their life use. And they're proud to use Quip. Help them develop a grown-up routine without childish gimmicks. Tim loves Quip because it's so stylish. He's got the all-black Quip, and it's dope. Get Quip at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/KFMS, right now you can get your first refill pack for free. That's your first refill pack for free at getquip.com/KFMS. Now, back to the Marvel news.
Shang-Chi, baby. Let me tell you about this. Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Man.
Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six, not seven, not eight, not nine, but ten!
So many rings. February 12th, 2021. Now, when's the last time we heard about these ten rings, Greg?
Oh, man, I'll tell you.
Iron Man 1.
Nope.
Thank you.
Iron Man 3.
Really?
Yeah. Well, technically, you're right. Last time we heard about him
the ten rings they mentioned in Iron Man 1, right?
There's a weird like logo that you see in the background.
The logo's in the background.
That's all you really see.
Because Iron Man 3 was the Mandarin.
We got the lie.
Yeah. Did they talk about the Ten Rings?
They did. You're right. Yeah. So, we're getting the real Mandarin in this. But I guess technically the last time we saw it was in the All Hail the King one-shot featured on Thor Dark World.
God.
Where we saw Trevor Slattery in jail. Do you remember watching this?
The fake Mandarin.
Oh, I never watched this.
Oh, really?
I never did the extra credit. Can I get him on YouTube?
Yeah,
cool. You can get this one, and it's awesome. Like this is.
I heard they were all great. Right? Is this the Justin Hammer?
This is the really good
this
one.
This is where Justin Hammer pops in
it. Yeah, this one's really cool.
You got Sam Rockwell. Will rock my world. I'll watch it. You know what I'm saying?
There's
everybody tweet me these links because I won't remember to
the
watch
Mandarin's
it.
A warrior king who inspired generations of men through the Middle Ages, perhaps even further back in time. The assassin says, "There's someone who wants to meet you." The Mandarin has come back for his name. That's somebody that was talking to Trevor.
Yeah.
His sins. But anyway, we're getting into all this logo. Boom. Can you bring it up?
Boom.
Barrett.
Oh.
The boom, boom is you.
Boom. There it is.
There it is.
Directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, a Japanese-American film director, screenwriter, producer, and editor. He's best known for his collaborations with Brie Larson in the films Short Term 12, The Glass Castle, and Just Mercy. A little background on Shang-Chi. As a master of hand-to-hand combat, Shang-Chi's power stems from his ability to learn any fighting style as well as control the life force, Chi. Able to dodge bullets, deflect gunshots, and dodge deadly weapons ranging from swords to shuriken, Shang-Chi can throw down with the best of them. Previously, in Marvel comic books, he's taught Spider-Man, Wolverine, Captain America, and more recently, Domino, different styles of fighting.
I feel like the stuff that he can dodge, very limited. I wish it went a little further, you know, like bullets or arrows.
Yeah, no.
You know?
I'd be able to dodge bullets, deflect gunshots,
I'm sorry.
And dodge deadly weapons.
I just heard shurikens.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, Simu Liu is going to be Shang-Chi. We got some real fun tweets for you here to bring up.
Right. Look at this dude owning social media.
Hold on.
Barrett struggling.
Anyways.
Okay. You didn't send this to me.
Oh, fuck. I fucked up.
So I got it. I'm on it right now. So you want to start with the 2014 one?
Yeah.
You want to start with this one?
Yep. Go for it.
Okay. I'm sharing to assets.
This is another interesting one where it's like, I don't know much about Shang-Chi.
But I don't know anything about it.
After Doctor Strange, I was like, all right, like they're going to do Origins right now.
He sounds way like a cool Iron Fist, right?
Have any of you guys watched Kim's Convenience on Netflix?
No.
I've heard
you should watch it.
So what's the word on this, Joey?
So
what is that show? He's the main character.
It's a Canadian show about this Korean family that owns like a convenience store. And it's very like, what are the comedy, short comedy shows called that I can't, sitcoms, I guess?
Sitcoms, yeah.
It's really funny. It's really good. It's pretty niche, but he's really good in it. He's super funny. He's one of the main characters. It's 3 seasons on Netflix. You can watch it right now. Just so you get like an idea of what he's like. It's really good. I recommend it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Do you have the tweet, Barrett? There we go. So in 2014, he said, "Hey, Marvel, great job with Captain America and Thor. Now how about an Asian American hero?" And then July 21st, when it was announced, he just replied to himself, LOL. And then there was another tweet as well.
I sent it to Barrett as well.
Oh, God.
I think. This one right there at the top. Thanks for getting back to me.
Yeah, hold on.
And this one. "Okay, Marvel, we going to talk or what about Shang-Chi in December 2018? And he responds, "Well, shit." Gotta love it, man. Having fun. They also announced Awkwafina is going to be part of the cast.
All right, dude. Hell yeah, man. Fucking killing it. Good for her.
Did you watch Farewell?
Wait, Awkwafina's a person? I thought that was a character you were announcing.
No, no. Awkwafina, the actress?
Yeah.
She's been in Crazy Rich Asians.
Oh, okay.
Ocean's 8.
Okay.
The Farewell.
Show me a photo. Come on, Barry. You got the Twitter. You got the internet.
Man. She spells it so. There. Oh, he nailed it.
Damn, he knows Awkwafina. Oh! I love her in Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
great in everything she's been in.
So wait, so you saw Farewell?
Yes, The Farewell.
Was it good?
How was it?
It's
it was
so very good.
Oh, yeah.
It was so enjoyable.
Now I want to see that.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Okay.
So yeah, Awkwafina, we don't know anything about her character. It literally just said Awkwafina.
That's all you need to know.
That's all we need to know.
That is all we need to know, honestly.
Great.
And
I hope she's the funny friend.
Tony Leung is going to be the Mandarin, the real Mandarin. He's a Hong Kong actor. He's considered one of Asia's most successful and internationally recognized actors and was named as Small Tiger among 5 Tiger Generals of TVB. I don't know what that means, but that sounds fucking awesome. But I was with all of my very Chinese friends at Comic-Con, and they were losing their shit over this. This guy specifically.
Jesus,
the whole thing,
Christ.
But this guy specifically.
Is that second picture of him too, or is that the other?
No, that's Shang-Chi. That's, yeah.
He's got a good chest.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Great abs.
Great abs. Yeah, so that's pretty much that. I'm excited for this one. I think it's going to be real cool. Then Loki, spring 2020.
Let's take a moment to talk about this logo. What the fuck happened here?
It'll make sense when you see it.
It'll make sense when we see it, I'm sure.
But, like, it doesn't now, and we've got several, like, a long time till we see it.
Well, isn't the L kind of like Captain America's font? And isn't the O like Asgard font?
Yeah.
Like, I think it's giving you a hint as to what he's going to be doing in this.
No, show. And the I get that, but that, it just looks like shit.
Is that it's not those fonts. Like, the O is, but the L is
everybody.
Yeah,
try
it's like, because I thought that too. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, is that Thor 1, Thor 2, Thor 3, and then just, like, a Loki thing? And it's not, though.
So. I mean, I just feel like this is, like, it's funny. There's so many good logos in this. And then they had a logo that like is not good. This
I
super
like they're doing weird
away.
Shit, man. I think all of them are like weird. I think that there's a couple of them that I'm like, those don't look what I'd expect them to. Like the WandaVision ones.
They probably
like,
won't be finalized. I like the WandaVision one because it gives that 1950s Atomic Family vibe. You know, like on the fridge.
Yeah. Like Frigidaire.
It's that text, and it's just.
I like this because it's fucking weird. And this show's so weird. This show's gonna be fucking weird.
Write it in dog shit. I don't care. It's fucking Loki. It's Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, baby.
Oh, boys.
Confirmed. This is the 2012 Loki that escaped with the Tesseract. We're now dealing with weird shit, ladies and gentlemen. The
multiverse,
MCU. This is the multiverse.
This is our first
parallel timeline.
First test.
Do you think he gets out and gets to our timeline?
I don't know. I mean, the most interesting thing is, like, and Kevin Feige was doing interviews. He was like, "This is the 2012 Loki. Think about what that means. He just got." Hulk smashed back and forth at the end of Avengers. No redemption arc, no growth, no knowledge of what happens after that.
Is it possible for him to jump to our universe? Because like
it's comic books, man.
If he jumps in the future, it would be his future, not ours. So
things we know right now.
Sure.
But
the Eternals fart or something, and guess what?
Exactly.
There we are. I'm over here now.
Then we got WandaVision, also spring 2021. Spring's gonna be popping off.
This logo,
2021's popping off in general.
Can't I'm very wait. Into this.
Fuck 2020 already. I'm done with it.
I hope we get the opposite of the Vision comic,
where she's created the Vision and she's trying to like live in her weird world. She's
I mean, dude, this.
It feels
with all the
like
news we got that's coming up right here with this story and the next one, it's insane what they're fucking building. Because so Elizabeth Olsen, Paul Bettany, and Tayona Paris, who's from Mad Men and Dear White People, playing Monica Rambeau. The little girl from Captain Marvel.
Which is weird.
Growing up.
Which is weird.
Why?
Because how long ago? Oh, I guess.
Yeah, Captain Marvel was in the 90s.
Right, you guys are right. Never mind.
Yeah.
That's not
and
weird.
And she
cool
becomes,
as hell.
When we did the Captain Marvel in review, we talked about how she becomes a superhero.
Photon?
Photon.
Photon.
Is it Photon? Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see what
that may not be
what
right.
happens here. I think it is.
Really? Okay.
But I love that.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
This type of continuity is why we love the MCU so much.
Oh, it's
like,
just so crazy to think that like.
The little like, girl
from Captain Marvel is now going to be in this. Like, all right, cool, awesome. So in.
They confirmed it is set after Endgame as well. Mm-hmm. So I think we're about to see some real dark Scarlet Witch shit.
I'm very excited. And they were saying that this is going to be more like this is going to be the introduction of like her witch powers way more.
And it leads into Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
The first
what a great title.
I will say there's a lot of M's in this title.
There are.
M?
Yeah.
But. Here's the logo, directed by Scott Derrickson, who is known for two things, Doctor Strange 1 and Sinister.
Fucking terrifying movie.
Terrifying fucking movie.
I hate that movie so much.
And they
much.
Said this is going to be the first scary MCU film. So put Which, those things together and oh yeah, baby.
I'm so like on the fence of like, maybe. I really like Doctor Strange, so more Doctor Strange is awesome. But an actual scary movie? I don't know, guys.
It won't be
know.
That scary.
How is Andy going to take it?
Not well.
Poor little Andy. No. He's going to have to watch it.
Is Scarlet Witch, you think, going to be a good guy, bad guy, gray guy in this one?
I think it's going to be
the worst. She's kind of lost her shit here
I don't
in
know.
WandaVision.
I mean,
that would be such a cool thing that if WandaVision ends and she's lost her shit and now we have her doing some weird shit because she can't control herself.
Yeah.
The thing is, the rumors are the bad guy in this is Nightmare. Okay. So I can kind of see.
Is that rumors or I thought that was confirmed?
It's, I mean.
No.
All but confirmed.
It's one of those things where it's Scott Derrickson has been tweeting a lot about Nightmare, but it's like not like Nightmare's the bad guy. But I can imagine Wanda kind of like losing her shit slowly over the show, going into this, and then Nightmare kind of like pushing it over the edge.
I wonder if Nightmare is the catalyst that like
causes
her to lose
some
her shit.
Crazy shit. Does that start the mutants? I don't know.
The opposite of House of M.
This ties directly into WandaVision. And yeah, Scarlet Pitch. Oh, Jesus.
Scarlet Bitch.
Scarlet Witch is going to be, that's what I meant to say, in this, in the way like Hulk was in Ragnarok.
Yeah, they said like whatever her arc is in her show, she will find herself on the doorstep of Doctor Strange's place at the end of it, pretty much.
It's mind-blowing that like this show is directly going to connect to this movie and that like everyone's going to have Disney Plus because they...
Disney Plus is about to make a gajillion fucking dollars.
Right?
$7 at a time. Good for them. Cheap enough to like keep people going. And that's another reason don't put it out binge-wise.
You know, no, keep
put
it
out week to week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyways, what if summer 2021?
Woo!
Here's the logo.
Remember when I pitched this and Luis Medina's like, no, that's a stupid idea, Greg. In your fucking face, Luis Medina.
I do remember that.
Thank you. Yeah. Spike the football.
Here's the cast list. Which is freaking
ridiculous
insane.
And
this
awesome.
Was the thing that we talked about on that Game of Grey show.
Michael.
We were like, this is Dreamworld. They would never actually do this. Here they are.
They're
doing
listening.
It. And they literally listened to our episode. And
we
and
did it. We made this happen.
The characters from the MCU. And so this gives us an idea of some of the storylines that they might play.
I was trying to remember, and I got facts and what we talked about on the show. This is animated, right? That's how they're bringing everybody back? Okay, cool.
Yeah, so these are just VO.
Gotcha. Perfect. Yeah.
But that's awesome, dude. Mm-hmm. That's so cool.
So, yeah,
I wonder, like, do we think this is going to be like more towards adults?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's just that's such a hard product. I mean, like, as we just talked about with Spider-Man, like, animated doesn't perform as well.
Sure, but that's a movie. That's a major theatrical release.
Mm-hmm.
This is, hey, you know the major theatrical releases you want? We have these videos that I think...
Of storylines that don't necessarily connect.
Yeah, but I think there's enough of us that when you put up a thing, you're like, what if Michael B. Jordan was Black Panther? He didn't give up the film, right? He didn't lose. What if Winter Soldier didn't come out of his mind wipe, right? What if Thanos kept winning? What if Loki never died?
I can't believe this is the world we live in where like this is a possibility.
I think that this is very much going to be a testbed for things that are moved into real canon,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. Do some cool stuff and like some multiverse shit.
Hey, it turns out if Red Skull had like...
I mean, you look at this and this is like the most exciting... One of them... I mean, this everything's exciting. Don't get me wrong. But like the cast of characters, I mean, Michael Rooker, like what if, you know, Yondu did eat Peter? You know what I mean? What if they did get...
Like how weird is it? We have Ant-Man, right? We got Paul Rudd.
And you have... Michael Douglas too.
Douglas, but then we also got that guy.
His friend.
But why is it just him?
Hey, man, that's what they got.
Where's Michael
Pena
at?
So this next piece on this show is why I think this is going to be their version of the Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
So...
Go for it.
So this guy right here.
Jeffrey
Watcher, baby. Yes.
Right. So you know him from Westworld, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and the upcoming Bond 25, as well as Basquiat, which I've never seen.
I've heard of it before.
It's not ringing any bells.
Moscow. But anyway, here we go. We get this cool image of the Watcher over there. He's the fucking Watcher, man.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. If you never read What If comic books, this is going to be so fucking good to take the Marvel Studios universe, the MCU, and say, what if this shit happened? That's going to fucking be awesome.
I mean, this is like Marvel totally unhinged, having fun with like, hey, you know what would be cool? Let me tell one story that may not necessarily have ramifications in the whole universe. And it's just like, God.
So the first one we know is Peggy becoming the super soldier instead of Steve, with Steve donning armor, like the Mark I Iron Man armor made by Howard Stark, which is cool as hell.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the cast page, it's like you can see the...
you say that, but why isn't Peggy or...
she's in the middle. Right under the dark.
Yeah, right there.
We're looking at a very low res. Wait, Chris Evans on there?
No, I don't see him.
Okay. Chris Evans, don't be a jerk.
But no,
work
he's
for scale.
Be
go
on
do it.
It.
Work for scale, Chris Evans.
They have money to pay.
Yeah, anyway, cool stuff.
Nebula, though, that's awesome.
Then Hawkeye, fall 2021.
Look at that logo.
Oh my god. I lost my shit. Seeing this, when it was this logo, I'm like, holy crap. And in interviews, they're saying that they're going to take from the Fraction story, but also other stories as well.
Of course,
For the people that don't know what the Fraction story is,
it's what's your pitch?
You talk
on
about it?
It
all the time.
I mean, it's what gave Hawkeye an identity, I think, to most fans, right? It's Hawkeye being an everyday... It's what does Hawkeye do when he's not an Avenger?
Yeah.
And it's him living in a shitty New York
Sounds
apartment,
boring.
Needing rent, the dog, Kate Bishop, the other Hawkeye.
It introduced more people to Kate Bishop being super cool and like a fun Hawkeye.
It introduced comedy to Hawkeye, which was really fucking awesome. It introduced like why you should actually care about Clint. It's something that has had ramifications throughout media, like since then, right? Like even in Ultimate Alliance 3, right? He looks like the Hawkeye you'd expect from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but when you talk to him, he mentions Kate Bishop and he jokes around about it, and like it's very much like, hey, this is the defining moment for this character modern times.
So we got confirmation that Jeremy Renner's in it as Clint Barton. This will introduce Kate Bishop, and it will also explore Clint's time as Ronin. So that's the interesting kind of thing there. So it's obviously going to be the MCU version because that storyline wouldn't work given what we know.
Get flashbacks. Oh, yeah, no, totally. 100%.
And like consequences.
I think it's going to bring it to people. Exactly. Yeah. Kevin, you know, it's going to be so him on the farm with his family trying being dad again, but then the flashbacks to all the people he fucking took out.
And then Kate Bishop.
Yep.
Like, is she just some random lady?
Young Avenger Hawkeye. Yeah. She is.
But she's no relation to. Nope. Okay.
She is just the new.
And you assume
the new
this
Hawkeye.
Is the same thing, right? Of passing the torch so that Jeremy Renner can stop being Hawkeye.
Yeah.
But, like, do we think there's any chance that, like, Kate Bishop will be retooled into being his daughter?
Potentially.
Yeah.
They did say Kate Bishop, though. So. Mm. Yeah. I think we already heard the name of the daughter, so that would be weird. And also, her last name is Barton.
Yeah.
Unless her middle name is Bishop and they pull some weird stuff. Unless she marries someone. I don't know. There's a lot of things they can do. It's the MCU. You can do whatever the fuck they want.
I
want
to say maybe Katie.
Jeremy Renner posted some shit that he wasn't supposed to post.
Oh, great.
Good but a cool little animation.
Oh.
Two arrows for him and Kate, you see. There's Kate.
God, that moment right there.
Hell yeah, dude. That's so really cool. I love in this video, you see the security come up with the light. It's Jeremy Renner.
I'm all good. Did you see him entering? Somebody had an audit, him entering, bumping the security
guard.
Like,
he came
like,
from the crowd, slapping everyone. He was like, oh shit.
Hit a security guard. The one little, anecdote I don't want to add to this.
Anecdote.
I know, right?
You got it. Don't worry. Nobody cares.
Doesn't matter. It's this show. You know what I mean? You fuck up everything you say.
You want to brush your teeth better? Use me undies.
I don't know.
For the record, too, I'm having a great time on this podcast.
Good.
And I don't even mean like, you know, like you're doing a great job. No. Just a personal anecdote to throw back here, right? Of being on the IGN stage for Comic-Con years and years and years ago. So like pre-2014, 2013, 2012 with the cast of the Avengers. And I remember during, it was, you know, there's always, all right, they're finishing up set. Here's the next people. They sit down. You get to talk for a while. I remember sitting next to Jeremy Renner and I want to say Colby Smulders and definitely Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, that's right.
And sitting there bullshitting around about it. And Renner said something to the effect of like, nobody cares about me or whatever. And I remember being like, no, dude, like right now, Hawkeye's more popular than ever. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, they're doing this. This guy, Matt Fraction, is doing this run and it's amazing every level. He's like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, maybe one. And like, but I said it never believing it. And I'm sure, for the record, every other journalist who knows comics said this to him too. I'm not
he
trying to say like
he fucking wrote it down. He went up to fight.
I'm just saying
like
it's more
hold
a fun thing
a
of
second.
Like telling him telling it. He had no idea what I was talking about, and then also me being like that'll never fucking happen.
And
they're
now
never
it's
gonna give Hawkeye that.
We're now at a
love.
Point that it's like seeing that logo. It gave me this feeling of like oh my god, like they are pulling from our favorite storylines, and like we've seen what they've done with Civil War, which I would argue they did a better job in the movies than the comics. Like they know what they're doing with this shit, and it's like let's take these iconic stories and put a twist on it. And yeah, the Hawkeye story will not work with the Hawkeye we know.
Yeah,
they'll
yeah.
make it work. Yeah. They'll make it better, hopefully.
His daughter's name, Leela.
Leela.
But I think short for Leela often is Katie,
Kate,
which could be Kate.
Kate Leela.
Have we done the Katie. Fraction run on Comic Book Club yet?
We have not. That'd be a good one,
I
too.
Just bought it all.
Did you read it yet?
Ooh. Nope, not
okay.
yet.
Good, cool. Gotta get in there.
Just throwing it out there.
Fantastic stuff.
Cool. If you didn't know, I do a comic book club, patreon.com/kindoffunny.
Right.
It's free. It's $1. You subscribe for $1, you can get it. Which is very interesting. The creator of Die going to come by this week and do it. Kyrian or whatever. So that'll be fun to have him in.
Hmm. Next up, like. Motherfuckers. Thor, Love, and Thunder.
Oh my god, and the winner for the coolest fucking logo goes to this?
Fucking own it, right?
So let me just drop something to you because I just
drop it on me like it's
hot.
When
you hear this, you're just like, what the fuck? Like Love and Thunder. Weird.
Fucking awesome. I'm in.
Taika Waititi just pitched the title. He was like, you know what? I want to call it Love and Thunder. And everyone in the room was just like, we're doing it. Like, cool, man. You've earned this. But like, how dope is that? This wasn't like by committee. It was just Tiger being like, this is what we're doing.
Dude, And there's some crazy shit coming out of this.
Yes. So Tessa Thompson, Valkyrie, needs to find her queen because she is the king. This is a queer love story. Tyke is pushing that. He's like, this is what we're doing. We're going all fucking in on this shit. Based on the Mighty Thor storyline by Jason Aaron, Natalie Portman, making a return as Jane Foster.
What the fuck? Here she was. Gone. She was out. She was pissed off.
Yeah. Right? She didn't even come
because
back.
Because they fucked her.
Yeah. She didn't even come back for the end of Thor 2, right? That kissing scene on the roof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They used his wife instead.
Yeah.
So this is insane. She's back.
No, leave it up. I want to keep looking at this.
This
image is everything that's right about comics and MCU and Comic-Con.
You just got to love it,
look,
man.
Look at her fucking own it. Look at him. So excited. Also, like, I don't have the picture
of it. Yeah, but when Mahershala
Ali,
yeah,
okay. I'll find it in time.
Thank you. But anyway, this is just unbelievable. For those that are unfamiliar with the Mighty Thor storyline, Jason Aaron for a long time now, like years, has been writing Thor stories, and it wasn't just Mighty Thor. Like, it's multiple different Thor series that kind of have had the story going on.
Did he do the Thor Unworthy?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's all part of this, which we've already kind of gotten parts of that in MCU, like the version of it, right?
Right.
But this builds into Jane Foster becoming the new Thor because she gets the thing, and whoever holds this is worthy, it's Thor, whatever. What gets interesting is, and I've never read this series. I've only seen like.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Neither have
I.
Neither
I haven't, I don't think I finished it, but I think I got through two trades of it.
I watched Benny's video, the comic story, kind of like recap of it all. And it's super cool. But what's the pitch on the cancer stuff?
So the idea, of course, is that when you pick up Mjolnir, right, you have the power of Thor and you become, you know, as Natalie will in this movie, or Jane Foster in the comics, I'll stick that way, becomes, you know, female Thor, the one, Lady Thor, the one you saw out there, the helmet, the
Mighty
rock
Thor
the
is what?
Of course,
they're
I'm just
going
saying,
to MCU.
I know, 100%, but just for, like, if you remember the comics back in the day. However, the thing was, Jane Foster had cancer and was going through chemotherapy, right? And so she was, you know, frail and weak. She'd pick up the hammer, become Lady Thor, Mighty Thor now and things. But when she put it back down, she'd go back to being cancer patient Jane Foster. The thing about it is, when she'd pick it up and do it, it would clean out all the chemo in her body.
It
was that thing that if she picked it up, she'd become Thor, but anytime she put it down, she would go back to being this frail patient, cancer patient that couldn't get better. She couldn't fight the thing, so it was killing her. If she could do it. And so there was
super
this,
fucking.
There's this awesome moral conundrum for her in the book, obviously, of wanting to get well or whatever, wanting to fight, and also then the idea that, well, I could just never put it down. I could always be Thor, but like, what does that come? What cost does that come at as well?
And now let me ask you guys a question: what caused the cancer?
Was it
the ether?
Oh.
I'm loving it.
Like McDonald's.
This is crazy. Cool. But
there's no. I didn't hear anything that Natalie Portman said on stage. What did she talk about? Has she saw in interviews coming back or anything?
Did she talk? I don't think she talked.
I don't know. I'm looking.
I think
at
she
Agent
just came
M's
out
thing.
And looked like a badass, and that was it. As far as I know. But yeah, dude.
You're saying like her face is very like her owning it, but like I don't know. This face right here tells me like she's still kind of hesitant. We'll see.
I don't know.
Well, you're such an idiot, Barrett. You're just looking in for trouble. That's a candid shot of her like getting the thing. She's like,
look at her eyes. She's like, I don't know. I'm not.
She's
quite
looking
sure.
at him. She's mugging at him. What are you doing?
She's
flexing.
Not looking at him.
What is she looking,
What's she looking at?
What is she looking at, Barrett?
Not him.
She's looking
the picture.
Down
she's
to
looking
her right.
directly at him.
She's looking at the hammer, guys. That's clear.
She's not looking down at all. You fucking weirdo.
Yeah,
weirdos.
She's looking at the hammer, guys.
You guys
need to
understand how perspective works. Anyways, then after this, that's when he said we didn't have the time. We did that whole quote, whatever, blah blah blah, Fantastic Four and all that shit. And I can't even say blah blah blah. Like they legitimately said Fantastic Four and mutants. They're talking about it. This is all real. It's all happening. You got to imagine that Spider-Man will also be in 2021, which stacks 2021 even more. Earlier I was talking about the Spider-Man stuff with the contracts and all shit. You gotta imagine if that $1 billion thing is real, it's not gonna matter because it's gonna hit the billion. On top of that though, there's been a Spider-Man movie every 2 years. So doing the math on that, it would be 2021. The only thing that might get in the way of that is Tom Holland is more popular than ever. And he is cast in more
Uncharted.
Movies than he's ever been, including Uncharted, which shouldn't get in the way of that. But there are other movies, including one by the director, John Watts, that does Far From Home, is working on a different movie without Tom Holland. So there's that side. Tom Holland's also doing just other movies and stuff that are pretty big deals.
Fuck.
So we'll see. We'll see how this goes. But I'm willing to bet that it's 2021.
If we get another, like, hopefully we get another Spider-Man movie, but it, like, I know that there's major consequences to his name getting announced, but, like, if somehow they're able to, like, skirt that line and it's just him going to college, I'm so in for that, you know?
That'll be the fourth.
You think so?
Spider-Man, yeah.
If they do a fourth.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. He's like a second year, right?
Well, now it's this would have been the end of his junior year, right?
No, I think he had to do his sophomore year again.
Because of the.
But wasn't he going to? No, he went to homecoming, not prom.
And that was the first. That was his first year.
That's not right. But anyways, then motherfucking Blade.
What the fuck? I'd say this is such a shock of like is. They're going back to Blade.
It's
not phase four, right? I mean
it's not phase four.
Yeah.
It might not even be phase five. This one right now, like from what Kevin Feige said, he's like, look, Mahershala Ali, after he won the Oscar, we had a meeting and he's like, I want to do Blade. And they said, we're going to do Blade. Yeah. Like, he's like, we're going to make it work. We're going to figure it out. That's what's happening. So there's no director. There's no anything on this. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this was six, even. Like, or late five. But remember, like, we might be moving a lot faster with phases now. Or we're not. Phase four might just be 2 years to kind of, like, introduce a bunch of new characters.
Phase five could be really long.
Five's going to be setting up, ending in a crossover. That's
what, that is what Kevin said to IGN. They interviewed him, right? And they were like, you know, no Avengers film. He's like, well, that was, you know, Avengers Endgame ended a bunch of stuff. This is new beginnings. Phase four is all about the new beginnings and bringing in new characters. Barrett, I sent you two things to assets. Number one is, I just want, just for us here, to watch again Mahershala Ali put on the hat.
Oh, sorry,
you do?
Yeah, I've got my apologies.
Let's just watch it, guys.
So good. If you're an audio listener, but you should watch it too.
One more time, everybody. Look at this. So this is phase four.
Look at it.
This is phase four. Thank you. Now, there's a lot of other stuff we didn't get a chance to talk about today. We didn't even mention that we're making Black Panther 2.
Oh, my God.
We didn't mention the fact that Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is coming. We didn't have time to talk about Captain Marvel 2, by the way. I didn't even have time to talk about the Fantastic Four. And there's no time left to talk about mutants. And how mutants are But you know what? All that stuff's been rumored, you've heard about rumors, but I want to leave you today with one more thing that I don't think has been rumored about. Ladies and gentlemen, two-time Academy Award winner, Mahershala Ali. It looks like you brought your own hat, Mahershala. You did? What is that?
It's so cool.
These motherfuckers.
I get chills
it's
every time.
Amazing.
You know what I mean?
For Blade.
Yeah. Seriously.
But at the same time, hey, Blade is one of the comic book movies that like worked when it came out.
It's one of the ones that started it, right? In terms of like, oh, these don't have to be shit.
Incredible, man.
And then I sent you the one tweet.
An image.
Yeah. That this is the one that was also making the rounds, making a big deal out of it. There it is.
So funny, Taika. They were saying that a lot of people on stage didn't know about this.
Yeah, that's amazing.
That's awesome. So fucking amazing. Damn cool. So Mahershala Ali, obviously, we know him from many movies, including Alita Battle Angel, where he had a character very Blade-like looking.
Yeah.
And that could have been awesome. He was also Cottonmouth in Luke Cage. Yeah. And when questioned
Fuck, I didn't even think about that.
Kevin Feige was kind of just like,
Fuck Netflix. Is it in any of our phases? No, that's not one of our things. Thank you so much. I want to give a shout out to Blessing Jr. on Twitter, too, who had one of the best tweets I thought yesterday, possibly after in all this. He goes, Blade and Black Panther are about to have the sickest handshake, I swear to God.
Dude. So, dude, that's it. That is it. I love Terry Schwartz from IGN was interviewing Kevin was like, hey, so like what about like phase five, whatever? And he's like, is this all? And he goes, is that not enough? Or, no, you expected more. What was the line from Endgame? I'm blanking right now. But when Wong was like, from the portals,
you wanted more.
Yeah, yeah, like, great. I love that.
I saw the tweet. I didn't even catch that it was a reference to Avengers.
It's great.
Also, I love somebody else pointed on Twitter that with obviously Taika involved or whatever, that now Blade introducing vampires to MCU, that what we do in Shadows could be somehow retconned into actually being MCU.
Yeah.
Have those vampires show up to fuck him with Blade.
This super interesting stuff. Can't fucking wait.
It's not interesting. It is. When we left Endgame, there was that thing of like, I can't, as a comic book fan, I can't believe what I just saw.
Mm.
I can't believe all this here is on screen. This saga is over. And it was that like, man, where do they go next? And to come out here and be like, we are getting even more into the weeds of comic books and into nerddom.
It's
and
wild.
I can't put into words what this weekend was like watching that. Me with the Kingdom Come Superman stuff of just like, holy shit, our dreams are all coming true.
Yeah. And I love with the shows, especially if they end up releasing them week to week. Like, we're going to get essentially by 2021 year round quality MCU content to watch, hopefully. You know,
mm-hmm.
like in between the 3 months that we have to wait to watch the next movie, there'll be shows to like keep it going.
It's so exciting. And like, God, I hope everything goes well. I hope that they are taking the time to make sure that this is building to the future and they keep the cinematic universe strong, because like they've done such a good job so far.
Ragu Bagu's about to get real long.
Oh yeah.
Hell yeah.
I just want to point out, Mr. Yasmin says in the chat, FX is producing What We Do in the Shadows TV show, mm-hmm. and FX is owned by Disney.
There you go.
Here we go. TV show, fantastic, by the way. I just watched the first season of it. Yeah, it's very good.
It's already out?
Oh, it's out and done. Like, the whole season's out. Very fun.
Is Taika involved with that at all?
Am
I saying his
name
right?
There's a cameo. Yeah, you're saying fine. There's a cameo.
Cool.
At the end there.
All right.
Yeah, it's good. Right. It's good stuff.
Hey, got me enticed.
I didn't say how it happens. All right. Now, we don't have time for trailer talk.
No.
We'll be doing...
It's got an hour and a half. Ranting and raving
about
the
MCU. We'll be doing a bunch of trailers next week, so stay tuned for that. But I do have time to tell you what's out now on streaming services. Normally, we do this on Friday, so I'm actually going to tell you what's coming out through the week. On Hulu, July 26th, Veronica Mars, Season 4. If you're excited for that, that's going to be there. Amazon Prime, July 23rd, Serenity and Hellboy.
Ooh.
Some interesting movies. Serenity is the Anne Hathaway. I think it's Anne Hathaway. It doesn't matter. And then Hellboy, I want
to
watch.
More importantly, though, and I don't mean to get ahead, is that it for Amazon Prime?
No, July 26th,
yeah,
The Boys.
That's my man. That's BKD.
I'm so excited. Which, by the way, Season 2 has been announced that they are greenlit for. And then on Netflix, July 19th, Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, new 2019 season. And then we have that same day, Queer Eye, Season 4.
Glow's July.
That came out.
That's
on
out. That's
yeah,
out.
Yeah, yeah.
I already watched it all.
When's Glow?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, July 19th was Friday.
Oh, it sure was.
We didn't talk about Comedians in Cars on Friday. So
no,
good bringing that up.
Somehow missed that. July 22nd, we have Inglourious Basterds.
Fuck yeah!
And then July 26th, Orange is the New Black, Season 7,
God,
the final
still
season.
Going. Oh, they're finally ending. Good.
Yeah. I believe so.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, I came back to the Riot season and watched an episode. I'm like, I can't anymore. Yeah. I gotta go.
The whole season takes place in like 2 days or something. Yeah. And then out in movie theaters near you, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Let's go!
Jesus.
Very, very excited. That's right. That's this Thursday.
That's why I'm excited for Inglourious Basterds, because I totally want to watch that at some point this week just to get me hyped.
I can't wait for that movie. Check my Twitter for a review. Well, my little mini review. Last week I asked.
Yeah, because you won't be able to do it on Friday.
That's right. We'll talk about it.
Can I be on next week and even just Shock Mike to?
Yeah, absolutely. So next week we can talk about how good or terrible it was. Who knows?
Yeah, right.
You know?
Come on.
Yeah. Last week I asked for your recommendations. You all responded. Not that much time to respond, so we only got a couple of them. But where's the one I wanted? Fendi says, you guys are sleeping on Euphoria. It's a great show that's making me keep my subscription to HBO after Game of Thrones. You know what? I went and started watching Euphoria.
Whoa!
I'm 2 episodes in.
Yeah.
It's wild.
You should have been keeping it for Big Little Lies. I digress.
Fendi
being like, there's not that great game.
You should check out Euphoria. It's crazy.
Okay.
High school drama shit.
I was going to say, high school drama, it's got MJ in it, right?
Yeah.
Zendaya, I believe her name is.
Mm-hmm. But it's good. I'm really enjoying it so far. Zombie High X23 Braun says, I recommend A Silent Voice on Netflix as a movie everyone should watch. Yes, it's anime, but it's a slice of life anime, the movie. perfectly portrays a deal and deals with topics like PTSD, anxiety, suicide, and being deaf. It's a total tearjerker and for sure is my second favorite movie of all time.
I think there was kind of big news surrounding this movie recently. The studio who made this movie, the studio burned down.
Oh, yeah. I saw retweeting about that this
week. But yeah, that I think that's this studio. So give it a watch, give them support.
Yeah.
Reach out to them, say that you
I heard a lot of good things about this when this came out. People were talking about it in the same light as Your Name.
Cool.
Right? Who else do we have? KCW says more people should be watching Letterkenny on Hulu.
Yes.
Funniest show out there.
Yes.
I put that in there because Barrett is always talking about this show.
Letterkenny.
And then our last one for days, Alec Bobko says, I've been rewatching My Hero Academia recently. If you haven't given the show a chance, please watch it. It's one of the better animes out there right now. Literally this morning, Barrett was telling me about how amazing the show is, and I definitely want to check it out.
It's I have a whole pitch for Greg Miller later on the pre-show of the Kinda Funny podcast of why
which you can watch at
Kinda Patreon.com/kindoffunny.
What time?
2 p.m. Yeah, there we go.
That's right around the corner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have a whole pitch, but I think this might be my favorite anime since Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh,
so
great anime.
Yeah.
So next week's bronze topic is, what are you most excited for that was revealed in Phase 4? Let me know what you're most stoked about. Throw in some theories. Keep them tight, though, you know. Keep I don't want to read a couple paragraphs. It's too much words for me.
Sure.
And, yeah, so you can go to patreon.com, go to the bronze tier, support there. Thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you guys have a great day. You can follow Greg at Game Over Greggy. You can follow him at Tim Geddes. I don't like saying Tim and then Tim again.
Okay,
we went over this last week. And you can follow me at Kinda Funny Kevin on Twitter or all social media. All right, you have a good day. I don't know, they laugh. I'll go watch that.